on. We are going to item number 8.
From the Director, Department on Aging, submitting an informational report regarding the potential impact of the 2011-2013 state budget on the Milwaukee County Department on Aging. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Hey. before he leaves the room, I was trying to do my, and he didn't hear it, so this is Supervisor Elect Ian Biddle. I'd ask you to join us at the table, but I see that you are conducting business out in the hallway. Okay, all right, you're welcome. All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Please introduce yourself to
Stephanie Stein. I'm the Director of Milwaukee County Department on Aging, and with me is
Jonette Arms, Assistant Director.
And before they get started, I want to let the committee know that both of these young ladies were out at State Fair on Monday, much longer than they wanted to be. Unfortunately, they got there early and they registered, but for some reason, someone shuffled the cards, and so Ms. Stein ended up being there until 4:30 in the afternoon, and Ms. Arms was with her all day. There was a great showing from our seniors in Milwaukee County. I was very proud, very proud. And there were even seniors that had showed up that didn't want to testify, but they sat there anyway. So it was very good. Please continue.
Thank you very much for that. Obviously, we have a long road ahead of us. I'd like to point out to you that the budget doesn't as much hurt the Milwaukee County Department on Aging because, in fact, our funding would not be affected. What it does hurt is the seniors of this county and of this state. The biggest issue, of course, is family care. And by family, the freeze on family care, we mean the freeze on the family care benefit, the partnership benefit, the PACE benefit, and the IRIS benefit. So all of the options that are available for home and community-based long-term care will be frozen as of June 23rd. Now, what that means to older people, about 150 older people a month are certified for one of those programs by our Aging Resource Center. And Ms. Lyday will talk to you about this. You understand there are still 2,000 people with disabilities on the waiting list, and people are added to that waiting list. That's only the waiting list that the state recognizes. People are added to that every day. They're just not counted in that 2,000. So in the aging community and all the people that are served, almost 8,000 by all of the agencies, older people, about 100 a month leave those programs. They disenroll, mostly because of death, obviously. But some move out of state and some decide to go back on traditional Title 19, which is their option, especially folks who are in nursing homes. So about 100 people leave. Now, we can replace people one by one as people leave the program. But again, there are well over 2,000 people with disabilities still on a waiting list. So just because older people leave does not mean that older people will get that slot. And obviously we will try, if we're given the option at the county level, Director Lyday and I will work, and our staffs obviously, will work out how we move people into those slots. But it will still mean hundreds and hundreds of people going on waiting lists and the disability waiting list getting longer and longer and longer. So clearly that's a huge issue. Now, I'd really like to point out to you a couple of things that in my meeting with Secretary Dennis Smith of the Department of Health Services does clearly not understand. The first thing he says is, well, these people will still have Medicaid. And you can buy a lot of things on your Medicaid card. You can buy personal care. You can buy transportation. What he doesn't understand is that older people do not come to us on Medicaid. Older people, for the most part, come to us living in the community or living in a residential facility after spending all of their resources to get to the $2,000 asset level, at which point they are eligible for Medicaid based on what's called nursing home Medicaid, meaning their income is usually a great deal larger than the Medicaid level. They can have substantial incomes. Almost all of that income then goes to their care. Just like if you're in a nursing home, you get to keep $40. All the rest of your liquid income goes to pay for that nursing home. It's the same thing in family care. You are eligible for the program, and you don't have assets anymore, but your money goes to help you buy the services in the program. Those folks are not eligible for straight community Title 19. Their incomes are too high. They're only eligible based on their functional need for a home and community-based service or a residential service. So number one myth is that these older people are not on Medicaid and are not going to get on Medicaid without being in a program. So that's number one. The second myth is that, people can just continue to live like they're living and we'll eventually get to them. Well, with older people, now we've been doing this is the 11th year we've been enrolling people in family care and these other 11th year. This community has an expectation, families do, that they can now, you know, older people say to us all the time, I don't want to be a burden on my family, et cetera, et cetera. Families now have the opinion that they can work with their elders to spend that elder's money, liquid assets, on bringing care into their home. And when that person spends to $2,000, family care will be there. As of June 23rd, it won't be there. What are these families supposed to do that have done what we told them to do? People move into residential facilities now. When they reach a certain level of care, they move into CBRFs, which are group homes, residential care apartment complexes, assisted living, and adult family homes, which are foster homes. Before they move into those facilities now, if they're going to be poor, which most of them are, because their money's going to be gone after they pay for 6 months or a year or 3 years, they find out if those facilities are under contract with a family care agency so that when their money is gone, family care will pick up that service and they won't be kicked out. Facilities have also developed business plans based on this. That's over. They will not have money. They will not have family care. And I can assure you they will be kicked out. Because prior to family care, when we had waiting lists for the community options program, they were kicked out. And right now, if you're in a residential facility that does not accept family care and you spend all your money, you are kicked out. This is a business. They're not a charity. This is a business. So the effect of this on people for whom this has been an entitlement since 2002 is hugely dramatic. It's hugely dramatic. And, of course, Director Lyde will talk to you about people with disabilities, which is also extraordinarily dramatic thing to be happening. The other thing I hope that you will understand and help us with in advocacy is that counties throughout the state have turned over all of their long-term care dollars, including their discretionary community aids dollars, to the states in order to be able to participate in this program. That's one of the deals. When counties go into family care, any money that they're spending to help support long-term care services goes into the pot. Counties don't have it anymore. So there's no safety net money left at all. None. Zero. Not just in this county, but every county for which family care is an entitlement, there is no safety net money left. So when Supervisor Jurczyk talked to you about dire consequences, she's not making that up. There are going to be dire consequences. People who are going to profit by this are attorneys who are going to bring guardianship and protective placements against the county to say you have to serve this person. And somehow we then will be ordered by the courts to do it with what? I don't know. So that is clear. The freeze on family care is clearly the biggest thing that's going to affect the lives of older people in this community. It won't affect our dollars. You know, our department does not get paid for enrolling people. And as a matter of fact, the state says to us, well, you'll earn more money in your Aging and Disability Resource Center because you may have to go back and recertify those people every 6 months, and you earn money every time you do that. This is a boon for you to earn, because we earn Medicaid dollars every time we do a certification. Okay. Well, anyway, so that's the biggest thing. The other big thing is Senior Care Wisconsin's prescription drug program for older people, which every elected official in Wisconsin has fought for through two administrations, which will now, for all practical purposes, cease to exist, and people will be forced to join Medicare Part D at huge expense to them. And who will benefit from that is insurance companies, who will now get premiums, and drug companies, who will no longer have to subsidize the drug care of older people in Wisconsin. I think there is some now emerging and strong bipartisan support to restore senior care. It's one of those things that people find the heat on real fast when they threaten a program like senior care. The benefit specialist program, which is the program that elderly benefit specialists, which helps older people figure out their benefits, will simply stop doing anything except trying to help people find a Part D product that they can afford or find some alternative to family care. Anything else, railroad benefits, VA benefits, that's over. And there are nowhere near enough benefit specialists in the state to help 92,000 people figure out a new drug plan. So that's going to affect everything else we do. And then the state shared transportation fund for older people and people with disabilities, that money is still in the segregated fund. It is frozen, so we would theoretically get the same amount of money, but I think we all know what's happening to fuel costs. The same amount of money will buy us substantially fewer rides for people, substantially fewer rides. So we don't know the exact effect of that yet, because we go through a very competitive bidding process for what those rides will cost us, but they're not going to be cheaper, obviously, and they're not going to be the same. So we will begin, we right now provide rides for people who are not paratransit eligible but who cannot use the fixed route system. We provide medical rides, rides to nutrition sites, shopping and errand services, and rides for spouses to visit their spouse in a nursing home. Those are the rides we provide now, and those will have to be cut back. Don't know how yet, but we'll have to be making some hard decisions about what comes first. So, other than everything else, those are the big things that will affect older people if the state budget passes as it is now proposed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Could you also, let's go back to transportation a little bit. I just want to get it on the record for those who are listening too, about specifically, if we can go a little bit more into, you talked about the segregated fund, but were you also alluding to the 10% cut that's on the table too?
Well, that
and affecting paratransit.
Thank you. I was not, and okay. That is another thing that will affect older people if it is necessary to cut the routes in paratransit, raise the fares, do only curb to curb service. All of that will also affect older people and people with disabilities in our community drastically. So thank you for that.
And Director, it's interesting to note too that those who could be more, please correct me if I'm wrong in the statement. Actually, I made the statement in front of the committee, so hopefully I wasn't wrong. But those seniors and perhaps disabled persons who are in the suburbs, and unfortunately I don't know why it came this way, but it was like Franklin, Oak Creek, Bayside, I think I even saw Glendale, some of the North Shore areas, could be even more negatively affected in some of those possible reductions in paratransit. Isn't that the case?
And thank you, Madam Chair, Supervisor Dmitrievich. It's really the case because there are no fixed route buses. And
right.
Where there are no fixed route buses, Milwaukee County has no obligation to provide paratransit services. And believe me, we provide substantial services in those places that you just mentioned. Franklin and Oak Creek are the highest level, growing level of older people in this county, and it's huge. It's in the hundreds of mm-hmm. percents. So there will be no transportation service at all for those folks.
I wanted to get that on the record because it's something that I think hasn't gotten enough attention. And then also, Madam Chairwoman, could you also expand a little bit on it's more the medical assistance program, but it does deal with senior care and family care, about this new authority, this kind of unprecedented authority that'll be controlled more on the executive level, and we could see a reduction in legislative oversight. We spoke about that at the Commission on Aging, and I just wanted to talk about what that could look like, because that's very new and could possibly be very dangerous.
Right. So the department has promised the legislature in this budget that it will reduce Medicaid spending by $500 million. There is no plan for that reduction in this budget. It simply says the department will do that. It also gives the director, the secretary of the Department of Health Services, the ability to make those changes without public hearing, without committee votes, with what's called passive review by the Joint Committee on Finance. Now, I believe that was amended so the Joint Committee on Finance has to be notified of the changes, but it really now removes the oversight and the hearing ability and the ability to make changes from the legislature and puts those changes in the hands of the secretary of the department. So $500 million is a lot of money to find. Well, you've already reduced all these other programs, and now you're going to find $500 million more dollars and basically do that by fiat. This is what we think will work.
I've said this before, but I'm going to just say it now. I said it at our Commission on Aging meeting because we have that monthly, and I have a meeting today actually at the Oasis Senior Center. And when I go out, people are just, senior citizens are just reaching out for information, and it's very hard for me as a local government official. I don't have a lot of the answers. And I think what's really unfair, and I brought this up at the Commission on Aging, my own mother, who's 71, says, you know, comes to me, her daughter, and an elected official, what are we going to do? What's up with senior care? You know, like, there's just these cuts that are out there, and to see the fear and concern in our elders' faces, it's just unbelievable. And what once were nationally recognized programs, our senior care, we went above and beyond to fill holes and gaps for people. Our family care has been recognized. And to think that we're now going to go back in time and just kick our seniors to the curb. That's exactly what's happening. It's unbelievable. And I don't know. I hope other people don't feel as helpless as I do in this fight. We're going to keep going forward, but it's just very disappointing. So thank you.
I have to echo that sentiment. I was at Milwaukee Christian Center the other day, and they have a large population of Hmong seniors there. And despite the fact that there is a huge language barrier, those seniors knew that their programming was in trouble. And they were very, very, very worried about it. And so I've agreed, actually, I'll be contacting their office shortly, but I agreed to go back next month and do a hearing for them just so that, you know, they have more information because they really didn't have it. And, they were really, really worried. And so a couple of them, you know, they were just, like I said, I was really saddened because, you know, obviously there's a language barrier and I'm not able to communicate with them what I know. But I was also kind of impressed because I think they're using this as a catalyst to get more information on politics and on government. So, you know, it may turn out working out for them. We need to let our seniors know what's at stake. and unfortunately, it's kind of up in the air at this point because it hasn't really, you know, nothing's in concrete. And I think that's the worst part for them, is not knowing, like Supervisor Dimitrievich's mother, you know, what is going to happen. How do you prepare for something you're not entirely sure? We as elected officials are used to trying to do that, but, you know, in your everyday life, I know you're not. So, Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On that, somewhat on that note, I guess I won't take the committee's time now, but I would like to connect with you on to get a better understanding of what you described as the myth that the secretary has been putting out there, and I want to have a better understanding of that. So
absolutely.
I'd like to have that discussion because I expect I'm going to run up against that same talking point when I'm talking with certain legislators, and so
absolutely.
I'd like to have that. And then, while I know that we're in this uncertainty and it's difficult for you to provide any better direction than you have so far, because we don't know what will be adopted, I think going forward, I would really appreciate some direction or some information that I can include in my newsletter and that we could use. I suspect other supervisors would be interested in that they can communicate with our constituents on the issue to give them better direction.
Absolutely.
You know, as we sort of get into summer and some of this stuff starts to be clear in terms of what actually is adopted. So
absolutely.
If you could do that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Any questions?
Can I make a statement?
You sure can.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Although not yet a seated county supervisor, having recently completed my campaign for this office, I heard a lot of questions about this very matter when I was at the people's doors, particularly around the Wilson Park on the south side, where a lot of our older residents on the south side live.
Thank you. Thank you. And, they were concerned about what... They asked me, what's going to happen with senior care? What will happen to me personally? And I said, I don't know. There are no concrete answers that I have right now, but I'm thank you for making me aware of that, and I want to work with you as we go through this, because you know, if I'm going to be your representative, I have to go through this with you, that's what I should say. So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right. And that is it. Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll put together.
All right.